to 11 o'clock. Food dumping is, of course, a major issue in South Africa and globally. It happens when there's excess produce or product, be it cheese, be it chicken, is imported from a foreign country, sold locally at prices that undercuts the local market. It's, of course, negatively affected South African producers. In recent years, issues of American and Brazilian chicken being dumped on South Africa's markets, it's led to the South African poultry industry saying, hey, we can't keep up with these low prices being dumped on our markets. What's going to happen to us? Joining me now is Frans Robert, is the founder at Fair Play, talking to us about new measures to prevent dumping of product from the global market. Francois, thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Review. How are you doing?
Good morning, Lester. It's wonderful to be with you. And Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Confidence it's of wonderful. The season.
Your commitments, by the way. I wish the importers would do the same.
Over the last few years, and I remember when we had in the Zuma administration already, we had a trade and industry minister, Alec Irwin. Is it Alec Irwin?
Minister Davies.
Rob Davies, yes. Rob Davies, all public and work, all ministers look the same. Raising the issue of dumping, and there was an issue at that time of particularly Brazilian imports seriously undercutting South African poultry producers. What's been happening in the interim since then?
You know, the issue is really not only poultry, as you quite rightly pointed out. It's other, particularly agricultural sectors too, because there's so much in Europe and the US and in Brazil being done to support those producers to enable them to do what we call predatory trade. Because when you think about it, what they're actually doing is they're not passing on the benefit of this very cheap product to consumers. So Professor Willemser, for instance, an economist, he did a study last year and he published an article where he pointed out the chicken was imported at a price of about 14 rand a kilo, but it sold for chicken thighs, it sold at 75 rand a kilo in the supermarket. So the importers are the people who make the bulk of the profits, very fat profits. And that's really aimed at dominating the local market. Now, I'll give you an example. In Ghana, they used to be able to supply 95% of their own chicken. Now, due to dumping, they supply 5% of their own chicken, 95% is imported. But you know what happened to prices? It's ridiculous. So in 2017, the USAID did a study and they found that chicken in Ghana back then was more expensive than steak in Durban. So that's what predatory trade means. It means that they destroy the local producers, they destroy local competition over time, not by passing on the benefit to the consumer, but by just going a little bit lower and forcing locals out. And the big problem in South Africa is that they first forced out these small-scale producers, you know, small-scale farmers in Limpopo and the Western Northern Cape and so on, who supply local communities. And also the big companies are forced to cut costs, so people lose their jobs. And these enterprises, these poultry farms, are mostly situated in deep rural areas. Mm. So when people lose their jobs there, they can't find jobs again. Mm. And that's, you know, against the background of South Africa with 44% unemployment.
We live in a global economy where even the appetite and tastes of palates of consumers in different countries influence us here. There was one explanation that was given that why does South Africa get a flood of particular of certain poultry products? And the explanation was, well, for example, in the United States, they prefer dark meat, dark chicken meat, what we call dark meat. In South Africa, the market is accustomed to to white meat, or it's the other way around. And because of there's an excess in a certain type of poultry product here in the United States, that thing gets sent to a market where there is a appetite for another product. Is this all just a product of the globalization of tastes and palates and an interconnected economy?
Of course it plays a role, but the economies have been connected for a long, long time. In fact, Cape Town exists because of globalization. Because in the 17th century, people tried to trade with the East, and it was founded to support the global shipping trade at the time. So it's not new. But what is happening, and you rightly pointed out the principle. So the principle is that in the North, for instance, Europe and the US, the consumers prefer the white meat, but their chickens tend to keep on growing the brown meat, the bone-in meat, we call it, the bits I like, you know, the thighs and the legs and so on. And they refuse to give up growing legs, and so they sit on a mountain of these products, and then they put it on a ship because it's cheaper than refrigerating or destroying it locally, and then they look for a market where they can dump it. And then importers in South Africa do deals with them, and they bring it in, as I pointed out, at really low prices. But they then do whatever they have to do to maintain a fat profit and still are able to undercut, as you pointed out, local producers. Now, this also happens in other products. And we are being called regularly by people from different agriculture industries to say we have a problem of the same kind. But remember that the World Trade Organization made rules, and all these countries have signed up to the rules. And it's these rules that are being broken. It's not unfortunately, illegal. So our patron, Justice Goldstone, pointed out to us that there's no law that says you can go to jail if you dump product. It's sort of frowned upon. And if you are found guilty of dumping, you will get a fine in the form of a duty that you have to pay in future on chicken. The problem is that those investigations are very, very expensive. They take a long time, and the adjudication used to take a very long time. For the first time now, the government has been very efficient, and within 6 months came to a conclusion, yes, there was dumping, and yes, we're slapping anti-dumping duties on these five countries, or exporters from these five countries. What we don't yet know is who were the importers, the South Africans who participated, because, you know, dumping is a dance that takes two. It takes an exporter and an importer. And we need to find out who are the South Africans who are facilitating dumping in South Africa.
Rob, I just need you to hold on a second. The suspect witness news, still with Francois Bird, founder at Fairplay SA, talking about dumping of products on the South African market. My apologies there, Francois, just needed to break in there into breaking national news. The apologies, and thank you so much for staying with us.
Thank you. Breaking news is important to all of us. We want to know.
So in terms of the dumping of particularly agricultural products in South Africa, there have been new anti-dumping duties that have been imposed or in the process of being imposed. How then are our local producers being kept safe from predatory dumping?
Of course, these duties are important, and they're quite large. You know, against Brazil, it's 110%, Denmark, it's 177%, Ireland, 158%, 91%, Spain, 35%, Poland. So these countries and companies from these countries are really profiting greatly, and the importers are profiting greatly. What we need to do is really get to a point where the World Trade Organization starts addressing predatory trade as a phenomenon. Because already, if you look at, for instance, collusion between companies, that is more than frowned upon. That's against the law. Dumping should also be against the law. And if you're found guilty of dumping, it should be an offense punishable by law, not only punishable by slapping on a bit of duty.
Who then gets to impose that? I would guess that it's the local It's the local authority against the local importer. How would you have criminal oversight or jurisdiction over a foreign country or a foreign importer?
Well, it's the international system that has to change and has to do that, I think. We are hoping this year to tackle that problem and to perhaps get some expert advice on how to get it done. Because there's no point in only the local importers being punished. I think it's the producers who import or who export to them as well who should be punished. It should be internationally illegal, in the same way that there are other offences that are international offences. And so we think there should be a strong case to get rid of this scourge of dumping, because it hurts the small markets and it hurts the people at the bottom end of the employment ladder, and it hurts the small producers most. You know, big producers can make plans, they can cut costs, they can use technology. And in fact, the South African poultry industry is very competitive internationally. It's one of the top five or six every year in the world. So it's not about them being uncompetitive. The product is good, the producers are competitive, but this is an abnormal way of stealing jobs from South Africa for the EU and for Brazil and the US. And these big markets really have to come to the party now and address the problem. They can't wash their hands off
it. It's been the concern of Ibrahim Patel, current trade and industry minister, and also, of course, his predecessor, Rob Davies. But from an active policy point of view, has enough been done by the South African government to protect local producers?
There's a good initiative in the sense of the poultry master plan, which is not, it's actually a wrong name for it. I wish they'd called it something like the South African Inc. Competitiveness Plan, because what it's aimed at doing, it brought everyone in the industry together, including the importers, by the way, to say, how do we ensure that we grow the poultry industry in South Africa? And the same is being done for sugar, and the same should be done for agriculture at large. And in that way, I think the department is acting in a very good way and being very proactive, for instance, with the latest speeding up through SARS and ITAC of the anti-dumping duties. So these things are starting to have an effect. The issue is that much more needs to be done, because there are all kinds of shenanigans taking place, we are being told. We're told about misclassification or reclassification of products. We've seen articles being written about that sort of practice. And it means that government departments across departments, so agriculture, health, SARS, trade, must all work together to solve the problem. And getting government departments to work together, I think, is one of the challenges of government, and not only in South Africa, but internationally. The other is to be far more effective internationally, fighting the cause, for instance, of the EU holding up the exportation of horses from South Africa, clearly as a retaliation, it seems to us. And so we need to really bring Africa together now that we have the Continental Free Trade Act, and we should use the muscle of South Africans, of Africa's billion consumers, and of Africa internationally, to say, stop this scourge, and more should be done to figure out how to get that done. This is costing South Africa billions. It's costing Africa billions. It is also contributing to terrible things like child stunting, which, you know, at one point you might want to consider looking into, because child stunting is a real threat to our future.
What's this fine line of allowing cheaper and affordable products? We know the rising cost of the grocery basket of basic items for South Africa versus the long-term impact of shrinking industries and producers in South Africa, which of course would have long-term impacts on economic stability in South Africa versus people's ability and access to buying, going to a supermarket and buying the cheapest product on the shelf, you know, that fits the very meager pay packets.
Of course, it's very important to ensure that we not only remain competitive internationally, but that we have food security. And there are indications that South Africa as a country may be food secure, but that households are not necessarily food secure. Mm. And so a lot must be done to help households in South Africa to become more food secure. And, you know, when officials want to arrest someone for growing cabbages on the pavement, it doesn't help that cause. It's ridiculous. So we need to really rethink the way in which we ensure that we remain part of the global trading scenario, because at Fairplay, we are not against free trade. We are for a level playing field. In other words, trade within the rules, because you can't have rule of law for Africans who want to export to Europe, but not for Europeans who dump in Africa. And so we think it's a rule of law issue. We think it's a fairness issue. And we think that it's a systemic issue. There's no single act that would simply change everything and say, there, that's done. A lot of people have to work together. Government departments have to work together. And in fact, the business community should take a real view of the moral morality, really, of dumping and stop doing so.
Francois Baird, he is the founder of Fairplay SA. Francois, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time here on The Morning Review.
Summer's here.
And the conversation continues.
Share your views.
Call 021-446-0567.
Cape Talk.
Intent and tone.
Morning, Lester. Pursuant to Lucille's comment around the amount of rats versus squirrels in the gardens, I find that it's rather indicative of Parliament on certain occasions. There are quite a few rats in Parliament as well, and not enough squirrels.
Hi, Lester. Why don't you ask the Minister why the normal security people weren't on duty over this weekend? Apparently it was to do something with not paying overtime. But surely that comes under the Minister who runs it, which is Patricia de Lille. Also as well, the unnecessary work that has been carried out by the security people. Why did they not be working? Why weren't they there on duty over the weekend? And secondly of all, why do we have a private security company protecting an asset, a state asset? Terry Durbanville.
Thanks so much, Terry. It's not